Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Diary, August 18, 97. August 1st to 31st, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in 3MR 274 to 275, 292, 5MR 187 to 188, 13MR 407 to 408, 20MR 39. 4BIO 317 to 320, 326. Sunnyside, Currambong. I could not sleep until 11 o'clock last night. There was considerable stirring about and considerable noise made, but I slept later this morning. There is much to do in writing, but my strength is not sufficient to take hold of the work on the life of Christ, his betrayal, his trial in the judgment hall, his crucifixion. All these things rend my soul and cause me such sorrow of heart that so few appreciate. Oh, if they could only appreciate that heart of love for the human family, lost, ruined, through sin, and He, the Son of the living God, came to seek and to save that which was lost, and they would not be found. All who seek Him with their whole heart will hate sin, although, like Christ, they will seek to save the sinners. And a hungry wishfulness was ever in the heart of Christ for the guilty transgressor of the law of God, who must be punished for his transgression. He would save men, not in their sins, but from their sins. He says, "Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." John 5, verse 40. And when one soul learns of Jesus, and finds in him that everlasting strength which begins where mortal strength has failed, then the heart of Christ is made glad, and there is joy and singing in the heavenly courts. Will our school in Avondale make Christ their own? Will they eat of the flesh and drink of the blood of the Son of God? Will they determine what food they will give their souls, what it will be that shall nourish the spiritual life? Ever bear in mind, in choosing your teachers, to make choice of those who consider that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. Discipline and order must be maintained. Students, if you will subject your minds to influences which shall be of the choicest order, you will then wear Christ's yoke and lift Christ's burdens. You will avoid a cheap, driveling experience. The Lord will help and strengthen and bless those who are sound in the Bible doctrines. Then show that you know the truth by your practice. Sunnyside, Currambong. This school is going to be a success. This morning I awoke about 2 a.m. My soul is drawn out in earnest prayer to God this morning. The Lord is blessing Brother and Sister Haskell and giving them grace to hold the attention and interest of the students. This school is going to be a success. The blessing of God is upon it. The Lord teaches me in the night season that He will put His Spirit upon Brother and Sister Haskell and give them the cooperation of the heavenly angels. Every effort that can be made is being made, but if any of the students are determined to resist order and discipline, they will find means to do this. Some have not been true. The light has shone upon them in clear, distinct rays from the throne of God, but some do not open their hearts to it. They watch for something they can report in regard to the discipline. In the place of feeling to give thanks to God every day that angels of God are ministering in the schoolroom daily, they do not have hearts in sympathy with the regulations and feel that there is too much restriction. The talent of speech is misapplied to speak evil because their hearts are not converted. They will introduce in their families at home little matters which they do not harmonize with. In the place of thanking the Lord that they have rules and guardians to help them, to teach them the fear of the Lord, they have a dish of scandal to pass around. There is everything to be grateful for, that they have teachers who possess moral stamina to hold fast and uphold discipline. Those who will dwell on little things that they think are too strict do not consider that Adam and Eve fell through a very little act of disobedience, just taking an apple, of which the Lord said they must not eat. They listened to the tempter, and the words of Satan were much more pleasant than the words of prohibition from God. So they ate, and that little sin opened the floodgates of woe to our world. The word is given me, maintain your discipline. And if some have had an entirely different education all their lives, it is time now they make straight paths for their feet. Summerhill Health Home, Sydney, New South Wales. We left Currambong for the station at 8:30. At Morisset, waited about 30 minutes for the train. I see and sense that we are living in perilous times. There is no surety wherever we may go, in the cars or in the trams. Liquor drinking is almost universal. Mistakes are made, wrong signals given, and the result is, many human beings are launched into eternity unprepared. We thank the Lord with heart and soul that we have the watch care of the heavenly angels. Poverty binds us about, but we need not be discouraged, for in the humble life of poverty we shall keep trusting in God and remember the poverty to which Jesus, the world's Redeemer, was subjected. And shall we complain? He for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty may be made rich. There are many things in this world that cast bright lights into our life experience. We have the evidence day by day that the Lord is working through the ministration of his angels in our school in Currambong. In his word, the Lord is giving the most precious, noble thoughts to our students. It is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that is working in cooperating with the educators in our school. The Lord is blessing Brother Haskell. The higher education is the study of great and noble thoughts, given in a special manner to his servant, Brother Haskell. He could not produce these things of himself. The work may be at times taxing, but the very consciousness of the help from the Spirit of God will sustain his servants, Brother and Sister Haskell, to act their part honestly, unselfishly, and according to the light the Lord has given. All have every advantage in the school to have their minds carried upward to a higher level and to a purer, clearer atmosphere, where the Lord can communicate with them individually. Religion in the heart, religion in practice, is the higher education which all must have if they enter heaven. Health Home, Summerhill. We went into Sydney to do some law business and some trading. It is many months since I have visited Sydney, and I care not to visit Sydney again very soon. It is a painful bustle and confusion. Health Home, Summerhill. I am not able to write. My head will not work. I am compelled to let it rest. Devoted some time to visiting Sister Simmons and Brethren Davis and Simmons. Brother Baker is moving to a place, several stations nearer Sydney. Northcote, I think, is the place. Health Home, Summerhill. My head is so weary, writing cannot be done. Sarah is in the city of Sydney. This forenoon we purchased carpet for the floor. It is cheap material, only 15 pence per yard. I am scarcely satisfied not to be able to write. Visited Sister Simmons, and we had conversation together. Visited Brother Davis and Brother Simmons, and had profitable talk. I took lunch in my room. Health Home, Summerhill. Spoke to the people in Ashfield. The Lord gave me freedom, and the word was well received. The weather was rainy. Brother Jennett kindly came for me with horse and carriage and took me to the meeting house. We did not get wet. The rain held up until we were within the house, then it poured down. Thus it was when we returned to the home, Summerhill. We did not get wet, and after we were in the sanitarium, the rain poured down most earnestly. We took the tram for Newtown, Sydney. The rain came so hard Sarah thought it might be imprudent to go out, but I made my preparations, and when the time came the rain held up, and I walked a short distance to the station. At Newtown, Brother Jennett's horse and carriage were waiting for me, and again there was the holding up of the rain, and the carriage took us to the hall, which was well filled with people. The Lord gave me much freedom in speaking to the people in regard to the development in Congress of the strict enforcement of Sunday laws. Sunday morning, we prepared to leave Summerhill for Currambong. Brother Rob took us in his hansom to Strathfield, about 4 miles, to save change of cars. We knew he needed the money, for it is very little he receives in his business in the cab line. We had conversation with him in regard to his moving to Currambong in order to be better situated to live and support his family. We persuaded him to visit the place and see for himself what was the outlook and the prospect before him. We will pay his car fare. I had a long conversation with Brother Davis this morning. Poor man, he is in trouble. He once dabbled with spiritualism and theosophy, and its dark influence has shrouded him ever since. Although he sees the truth and believes the truth, yet there seems to be a bondage to this power that it is hard for him to break. I could only bid him look and live. Numbers 21, verse 8. An uplifted Savior will heal the serpent's bite, and although its poison has been diffused through his entire being, I could say to him, look and live. Satan has indeed tempted him and desired to sift him as wheat, but Christ is a living Savior and advocate in the courts of heaven in his behalf. May the Lord deliver him from the cruel power of Satan, is my prayer.
We had a pleasant journey of 3 hours. There were only 2 ladies besides ourselves in the ladies' compartment. The covered carriage was waiting for us, and we arrived safely at our own home. The whole garden we find overflowed. Much rain has fallen. All were glad to see us, and we were glad to see all again. Sunnyside, Kudumbong, New South Wales. We visited the brother living about 1 mile from Morisset. We found there a brother who had embraced the truth and had been baptized and was a member of the church. He had a home of 4 rooms, all small but one. The dining room was a large room. He had garden stuff growing, and everything seemed to be flourishing and doing well. But the family that had moved from the house 4 weeks before had allowed everything to run down and decay. He wished to rent the place, and all he would require was half of the things raised. We thought Brother Rob might be pleased with the place if it was not so far away. We wrote to Brother Rob and asked him to come and see for himself. Sunnyside, Kudumbong. Elder Daniels came to visit Avondale, Kudumbong. Monday, Mrs. Blank came to Morisset to see the place and provide for her son to attend school. We met her at the station with our carriage. She was very large but pleasant woman. She was accommodated at the school and tarried over one night. Sunnyside, Kudumbong. Council in regard to camp meeting in Stanmore. We had an interview with Brethren Baker and Daniels, who had come up to Kudumbong to counsel with the brethren in regard to the camp meetings to be held and their relation to the school. Also to counsel in regard to the advisability of having the camp meeting held first in Melbourne, then in Sydney. We could not see light in this because the school was to run until October 27th. If, at the close of the term, all could attend the camp meeting in Sydney, it would be a good winding up the school. We were perplexed to know just who to do. We hoped further light would come. We have had no camp meeting in New South Wales since 1894. We think the meeting should be held in New South Wales first. We have now to consider the necessity of building our third and principal school building. The means has now come to light, which was donated to the school or meeting house as the necessity demands. We can see a providence of this delay in the means reaching us. It has been the design of God that it should be thus to test and prove and try our faith. But we feel the need of a church very much. Had we moved out in faith and started to build a church before now, it would have been better, far better, for the success of the work. Such a movement would have given importance and character to our work. Having to come so great a distance from the road into the bush to get to the place of meeting, and then climb the stairs to the mill, often exposed to cold and again to heat, and with surroundings of every conceivable kind of furniture and utensils, did not honor God or inspire the people with sacred ideas. The force of truth loses much of its influence on the mind because of the surroundings. I have seen this and deplored it, but the dearth of means has left us in perplexity. We must make the Lord's cause and work first. I see we have not done this. There is in a church building an indirect influence upon the people where its direct power is not apparently felt, that there is a restraining of transgression and sin. Sunnyside, Kudumbong. Brother Baker visited us. We have many things to consider in regard to the working forces and the necessity of the students having something to do in order to earn means to attend another term of school. We feel very grateful to our Heavenly Father for the success of this school the present term. We hope to see success at every step we advance. We realize that a solemn responsibility rests upon us to work most diligently while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man can work. Laborers are needed in all parts of the Australian field. There are but few workers. Everything has seemed to be held for want of means, and workers could not be paid. We need positive labor in various fields. The restraining influence of truth is telling in any community where the truth is not only made known by precept, but positively by example, in living the Word of God. Here is the great lack of our churches. We see the threatening of the elements in the religious world to restrict religious liberty by exalting human laws above the divine law, making them take the place of the divine enactment, and making the laws of God of little account, subject to change by the will of human judgment. They have made void the law of God, and unless restrained, they will make human laws oppressive. The secret of God is with them that fear Him. Our work must be pushed most earnestly, and there will be impediments placed in the way of the advance of the work. Therefore, every self-denial should be practiced. Every man, woman, and child who believes the truth should ever maintain its elevated character. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The profession of the truth will have an influence upon the entire character only as it is in Christ Jesus. The Lord does not design to leave His people destitute of His grace and power. The souls that are obedient are the ones who may have power with God in prayer and with the people. There are souls to save, and there are those who have taken the truth as a theory who are not converted. Therefore, their influence does a great deal of harm in lowering the standard of the truth, making it a common thing. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. We had a talk with Brethren Baker and Daniels. We canvassed quite largely the subject of ways and means, how to build the meeting house. We could see only £100 that I had loaned to the New South Wales Conference in 1895. If I could get that, I would invest it in the church. £100 more we could see would come to the church building. That would only be $1,000. We had a long conversation and decided that the meeting house must go up, even if it could be only sided up and unfinished within for a time. We decided that the boys' dormitory, the main building, should be erected as soon as possible, for we were very much crowded for room. We could not do this had not a long mystery been solved in regard to means which came from Africa. £1,100 never came into the school at all, and the reports had gone out the school had squandered money. We all had planned very economically and studied in every way to bind off the edges and allow no extravagance. In balancing the books at Echo Office, by a most critical examination, there was found the sum of £1,100, for which they could give no account. This was traced, and it was ascertained it was sent from Battle Creek, and without any statement in regard to the matter. After tracing the matter out, it was found it was money donated to the school, which had never come to the school. We believe this was in the providence of God that this money was hid from all of us. And our test and proving came, and because there was not money to pay carpenters high wages, and for other work, our brethren, whom we supposed true, turned traitors and spread every kind of evil report. After these had left the place, then the Lord in His providence permitted us to have the means, which was so much needed to build the third and largest building of all. And also the same Friday night there came in the mail a draft of £200 from Harmon Lindsay and Mother Wessels. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales. I did not attend meeting. I was much worn from writing. Elder Daniels gave an excellent discourse. The meeting room was crowded full. About 175 were present. I was so thankful to God that we could see our way amid the difficulties that perplexed us. We could indeed arise and build. We could have a chapel erected, simple but neat and tasteful. I felt that I could weep and rejoice before God because of the discovery of the means that it was supposed we had received and used up. Where and how the books did not enlighten us. But now, at the very time when we needed this means to use, it is placed at our disposal to be appropriated. I could and did make melody to God in my heart. Good is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The work must advance by being elevated to a higher and holier standard. This can be done only through the reception of the Holy Spirit in the heart and its sanctification of the daily practice of life. Sin is polluting, degrading the entire being, disqualifying the human agent to be used as his worker to win souls to Christ. We must in character be fitted, refined, sanctified through the truth. We are sons and daughters of God if we do the will and commandments of God. We are to expect the converting grace of God upon us every day. We need to take heed and cultivate the graces of the Spirit and cherish susceptibility to divine impressions in the study of the Word, that the truth shall show its impress upon heart and life practice. This will qualify us for receiving the power of the truth through faith, and qualify the soul for the enjoyment of the Word, feasting upon its treasures for our enjoyment. We may then expect to receive Christ's righteousness. Then, through the grace of Christ, there is a transformation of the natural tendencies, an elevation and refinement of speech, and an elevating of the taste. The appetite craves the food, which is the Word of God, and walking in the light of the Word, we cannot but become complete in Jesus Christ. We are the elect of God. We receive His Son as our personal Savior. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales. Early in the morning, I was informed I was wanted in the council meeting to be held at the school building. We were in the council meeting from morning until noon. Elder Daniels was deploring the idea of the Melbourne camp meeting being put off until December, if the Sydney meeting was to be first on the list, and the school is held until October 27th. I inquired, supposing the school should be cut short 2 weeks, then would that give sufficient time and relieve the situation? Brother Daniels caught at the suggestion, reckoned from the calendar, and light flashed in and all difficulties were removed. He could see, all could see, that to cut the school 1 month short and hold the meeting first in Melbourne would not be the wisest move to make. But to cut off the school 2 weeks, give them this time in Sydney camp meeting, the school paying all the expenses of the students and they being cared for under the school discipline, was the very best thing that could be done. They would get much good at the meeting, the very thing they needed, and the Melbourne meeting need not be put off until December, when the flies are so troublesome that there is a necessity of both men and women wearing veils. The bite of these flies is very poisonous. Everything was harmonious in calculation, and all were pleased. Brother Rob and Brother Blank came on the cars to look at the place and to see what chance there was for him to locate here in Kurrenbong. We lodged him in our house, and he sat at our table. These brethren must be assisted to help themselves. Brethren Baker and Daniels left for Sydney Sunday night. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales. Sarah and I went to Martinsville, and Brother Rob accompanied us. May White and her twin boys went with us, and they had a picnic handling the oranges. The piles of bright yellow fruit were very attractive to the little lads. We had a very pleasant drive, and when we returned, we called for the mail and had quite a large mail to examine. We always take a deep interest in the arrival of mail on the steamer from America. We learned that Brother Lockwood is dead, and Sister Lockwood has sold her home and has gone to Battle Creek, en route to visit her brother, George I. Butler. His wife is a paralytic, has to be lifted, cannot walk, and cannot talk. We feel very tender feelings for them all. We have received communications pleasant, and things which require consideration and prayer to know how to answer them. Tuesday there arrived at Kurrenbong Brother Bond and family. They came on the steamer from America. His wife felt too weary to visit us. A half-caste Maori, a missionary named Nicholas, also a Maori, the son of a prince who is traveling, has also called to see this country. This Sister Nicholas comes to us from New Zealand. She was warmly recommended by Brother Steed. I have not seen them yet. Brother Bond came to visit us, and we had a long talk. He tarried with us overnight and said he must leave the next morning. The rooms are becoming altogether too straight for us. The school needs the room in the second building. It should be finished and made into sleeping rooms. If we had moved out by faith, the Lord would have been our guide and our stronghold. He would have honored our faith. Oh, when will we learn to trust in the Lord Jehovah, not only in jots and tittles, but with a never-failing trust? We are not to doubt our Lord Jesus, whether He is in heaven or on earth, for he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We are to trust him humbly, trust him wholly, trust him unwaveringly. He says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." John 8, verse 12. God forbid that anyone shall walk in the sparks of his own kindling. No man can be his own teacher in regard to the soul's eternal interest. If we are daily looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, we shall come to correct decisions. We will make straight paths for our feet. We will be following on to know the Lord. The Lord Jesus says, "I will be your teacher. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. I will be your light. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart." Psalm 97, verse 11. We need more than human wisdom to know how to act, how to speak, how to pray, how to give counsel. Wednesday morning. Brother Bond intended to leave for Sydney this morning, but there was a misunderstanding in regard to the arrangements, and he did not go. In the afternoon he came, accompanied by Sister Nicholas and the son of a prince. We had a pleasant visit. They seemed anxious to know where the church was to be built, and Sarah told them she would accompany them to see where we intended the church should be located. They were very much pleased with the site. In the afternoon we visited Brother Hare, and we came to an understanding upon some points in regard to building a church without delay. We cannot see the necessity or the least excuse for delay. When reproof comes that we have been negligent in regard to building a house for the Lord that we can dedicate to Him, we will feel clearly that we have not acted our part. Until we shall show an interest and a becoming zeal in this direction, we shall not feel that we are excused or free from condemnation. My soul is burdened. I feel that there should no longer be delay in putting up a house for the Lord. If the Lord will pardon our blindness and our ignorance in our lack of faith, we will be thankful forever and forever for His tender compassion and mercy and love. When we see the acceptance of that place of worship in the loft of the mill for about 1 year, we feel that we have made a mistake and have failed to appreciate the greatness and the character of the work. The climbing of the stairs was not a refined action for women and young ladies. I sincerely repent of all such mistakes as this. Then permitting money to be diverted into different channels and consenting to worship God in that loft, that upper room, surrounded with all that furniture and rubbish, was a shame to us as a people holding the most sacred truth ever given to mortals. We might have erected a suitable house of worship then as now if our perceptions had been pure and elevated, as they should have been. If the Lord will pardon our transgressions, we will never, never repeat the same and dishonor our God. This morning I arose 3:15 and wrote a letter to Brother Olson, who is now in Africa. I wrote 6 pages and aroused Maggie and Sarah to copy it on typewriter. I then felt relieved. Sarah and I visited Brother Haskell and had a profitable talk with him in regard to the meeting house, plans for the size of building, and the preparing of material. Sarah and I rode again to the site which we thought the best place for the meeting house. Certainly, it is the most beautiful spot upon the whole grounds. We cannot see where there can be a spot that will have greater advantages, and as all our advancement and favors come from God, we will present to Him the very best offering we have, and say, "Of thine own we freely give thee." We will honor God in preparing a place where He can meet with His people who love God and keep His commandments. We must have a neat, humble, attractive, and convenient house of worship that will represent the character of the elevated work in which we are engaged. We have made a mistake in not investing means in a house of worship suitable for the people to assemble and worship God in the beauty of holiness. If He will pardon our transgressions, forgive our sins of unbelief, and look upon us with favor, it is more than we deserve. We all seem to have defective spiritual eyesight. We want the aftersight before the foresight. We must walk and work by faith. We need, oh, so much, an increase of faith. We need the deep moving of the Spirit of God upon mind, heart, and character. Then shall we see of His salvation, and sinners will be converted unto Him. We must not have any cheap, half-hearted work in this enterprise of building a house for God. We need His presence, His grace. In all our actions and in all our words, we are to reveal the refining influence of the truth, and the Lord will help us in all our efforts to advance to His name's glory. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. I awakened at 2:30 a.m. and arose and dressed and pleaded with the Lord for His blessing and special help at this time. We have very important work to do in devising and planning for the church, and for the school to be all that it should be. We are convinced that the school has been well conducted, and we have the honor to have the presence of God in our midst. We have the word of the greatest teacher the world ever knew. Without me, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. With Christ's intercession before God, we can ask whatsoever we desire to the end to honor and glorify God. Elder Haskell walked over to our place and took breakfast with us, and we had quite a profitable interview. He requested that we go upon the school grounds and select the place where the building shall be for the church. We spent some hours in this work. It was not an easy task to decide the most favorable position, but we decided to take more than one lot. We must have 3 or 4, and maybe 5. Work will commence on Sunday morning, August 22, 1897. This is a great enterprise for this part of the country. Our school being established here demands that we arise and build. We cannot present to the Lord any meager offering. We want, when this work is done, to have done our best according to the light God has given. We want to hear from the Lord the word of approval, as did the remnant who obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, coming to them through Haggai the prophet, when they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts. Haggai 1, verse 14. The word of approval came, "I am with you, saith the Lord." Haggai 2, verse 4. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, "I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and the line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem." Zechariah 1, verse 16. Chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 are chapters appropriate for our study. We are to learn our lessons from these chapters, for history will be and is being repeated. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. Respect for the Sabbath day. We feel very much the need of wisdom from the Lord. This is the Holy Sabbath, and our people who observe the Sabbath will be assembling together to worship God on the day specified in the fourth commandment of the Decalogue. This is the day He has sanctified and blessed, and He has told us, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Exodus 20, verse 8. I fear we too often forget that this day has been set apart as sacred time. We are not to wear a long face and endeavor to be very sedate. We are to be cheerful and pleasant and happy and to make all around us happy. We will have a subdued, holy joy upon the Lord's holy, sanctified day. We will make melody to God in our hearts. We will sing His praises. We will feed upon His word. We will be altogether what the Lord would have us to be. We will meet with the people of God to worship Him. I spoke to a room full in regard to building a house for the Lord. I spoke from Haggai, chapter 1. This had been urged home upon my mind, also chapter 2. I also urged the people to show honor to God at once by building a house for Him, where we could worship God in all humbleness of mind, where we could kneel down to worship God, and could serve the Lord becomingly and in order. I have a message from the Lord in regard to building a house for God. I read Haggai 1st and 2nd chapters, and Ezra 3rd chapter. I bore a clear and decided testimony, and appealed to all to rise up and build a house for the Lord. Elder Haskell spoke to the point, and we know the people felt indeed in earnest in the matter to do all they could. A meeting was appointed for Sunday evening to consider the matter of the plan of building, and that without delay, for we wished to dedicate the house for the worship of God before the school should close. That church building will be a witness to the truth which we claim to believe, and we deeply regret that we did not do our best before this time. It could have been done, had we had faith of the right quality. But we will not wait longer. We feel in haste now to prepare a chapel that we can dedicate to God before October 13th, 1897. May the Lord favor us and guide us, is our prayer. We are here located on this ground according to the Lord's directions. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. Church to be erected, Sunday. Elder Haskell came before breakfast. He sat at our table. Then, after breakfast, we had conversation in reference to erection a house of worship, now, without delay. I propose that we visit Brother Hardy. He is a skillful workman, and if we can engage him to manage the workers, in connection with Fred Lamplaw, the building will, with the blessing of God, be a success. It was raining, but we put our horses before our double phaeton carriage, and Sarah, Elder Haskell, and I went about 3 miles, much of the way through the woods, to find Brother Hardy. He was at home, and we laid the rough sketch before him, and he thought the dimensions proportionate. We advised with him, and he decided to stand with Fred Lamplaw as directors over a large number of hands. We gave our message, and then we returned home in the rain. We found Brother Show at our house. We were all soon seated at the table to enjoy our midday meal. In the afternoon, Brother and Sister Hughes called upon me, and we had a long conversation in regard to the meat diet question. Oh, that we may in all things eat and drink to the glory of God. We need a strictly hygienic diet. The eating of the flesh of dead animals is repulsive to me. The animal creation is largely diseased, and meat eaters eating the flesh of dead animals cannot avoid eating meat that is more or less diseased. Many who ought to know better will say, "Oh, I cannot live without meat. I feel so weak and gone if I do not have meat. I have no strength." Thus argues the tea and liquor drinker. Some have undertaken to live without meat, but have devised nothing to supply its place, and finding themselves weak have supposed it was subsisting upon the flesh of dead animals that gave them strength, and therefore returned to their meat-eating diet. All who will learn how to cook properly will soon find they can live without meat entirely. Good sweetbread, fruit, and vegetables supply all the necessities the system requires. I have a large family of workers, and all are in good health, but none taste of meat. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. I awoke at 4:15. I thank the Lord for a precious night's sleep. I am presenting my case before the great Restorer that He will strengthen and restore my eyesight. I have much writing to do, and I pray for the Lord to heal my left eye and remove the pain from my left cheekbone close under the eye. The Lord hath hitherto been my physician. He hath mercifully and compassionately come to my aid when no human power could avail. I have pain in the eye when writing by lamplight. The morning hours, from 3 a.m. until 7 a.m., are my best hours to write, for then I am not broken in upon, and obliged to give my time to advise with my brethren and counsel with them. The Lord Jesus knows all the arts and all the malignity of Satan to annoy, to cause pain and suffering. He would have us know that He is afflicted in all our affliction, and that He is ready to give His compassion and His grace, that we may endure as He endured the assaults of Satan. I doubt not His compassion and His love. On earth He evidenced His love to suffering humanity. He will manifest the same through His representative. Now that He is in heaven, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Elder Haskell and Brother Lamplaw rode through our yard to visit Healy's Mill. He brought word that they had a very stirring meeting. The subject was the chapel to be built, and it's being built now without delay. All present voted in favor but two. I was sorry in my heart that these men did not unite with those who were in favor. May the Lord help us and open ways before us and strengthen the purpose of everyone to arise and build. Nehemiah 2, verse 20. If we are not able to accomplish that which we have undertaken, it will not be because we did not try to do our best. The Lord God possesses infallible insight in regard to the past and the present and the future. If we fail to complete the building at the appointed time, we will know that the victory was not vouchsafed to us because it was not safe. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. Tuesday morning. I passed a restless night. I thank the Lord we have no rain and the prospect is we shall have fair weather. May the Lord direct us at every step in building our chapel, is our prayer. We must move in His counsel, work under His directions, and obey His word, and then leave the result and consequences with Him. He knoweth the end from the beginning. He will give grace if we ask Him. Last evening, I received a visit from Brother and Sister Brandstater. They have come to connect with Brother Simmons and to give treatment to the sick. He has received education as a nurse at the sanitarium at Battle Creek. We are glad that they have come and hope there will be a decided change in the health home. Brother Hare came to converse with me in reference to building a chapel. We talked about 1 hour. We hope that our words and ideas were not materially apart, but in harmony generally. My heart longs for God, the living God. I want the presence of God this day. I have read this morning a chapter for the life of Christ, woes pronounced upon the Pharisees. Were Christ upon the earth today, priests and rulers would hear scathing rebukes and woes pronounced upon them for their impenitence and their opposition to truth and righteousness. Last night, August 23rd, I seemed in a vision of the night to be in Ashfield. Several of our brethren were present. I said to Elder Haskell, "This church will answer for this place, but the church at Kurrenbong must be larger in width and longer than this building. It must be larger than you have estimated, and should seat 400 people. Then I saw papers where the length and breadth were marked out and the figures given. I had thought 32 by 50 was not enough, and we were saying it must be lengthened. Then the width of the Ashfield Church was given, and the width of the chapel, which was wider than the Ashfield Church. And after consideration, the chapel was enlarged, and as the size was stated in figures, all seemed to be pleased with width and length. I am in earnest labor from the early hours of the morning, all through the day, writing and counseling with our brethren in reference to the work that must be done in this place to accommodate the students. But the special burden now is the chapel. There is to be no delay, no change of site. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. I have awakened at 3:30 a.m. I am so very thankful to sleep as I have done during the night. I see I have several articles put under my door to read this morning, to see if all is correct. My eyes trouble me. My head seems strained and tired. Elder Haskell came in the forenoon to see me, and he has had a very successful business trip. The way seemed to be open to get material for building at cheaper figures than were expected. He requested we should come to the school grounds, to a board meeting where a sample of seats to furnish the church was examined. We assembled and talked over our plans. We had sent to Newcastle for prices of brick, delivered at Morisset. 6,000 bricks for piles under the church would cost £38. Wood piles would answer. If we waited for the brick and the hauling, it would delay the building. We decided on wood piles, and there had been wood piles set for a building, and then it was not considered a proper place. Those piles were very proper for the church to rest upon. When the brickmaking can begin on the ground again, then the brick piles can be put in any time, and the church can stand upon a better foundation. The only objection was the appearance. But we do not consider the Lord will be displeased with the wood piles, under the circumstances. Brother Hare and Brother Hughes seem to be in no hurry for the building to go up, but for them, all are very anxious for it to go forward. We have 4 experienced carpenters, already out of employment. These will work for 6 shillings per day, and will give half their wages. These are Brother Barron, Brother Lamplaw, and Brother Hardy. There are other carpenters not as experienced, who will work the same way. We feel very anxious, while the Spirit seems to move upon the people, that all shall move in harmony and arise and build. I have never seen a greater willingness to take hold of the work. All seem burning with a desire to do something in that building. Some will give donations, others will give work, and all these gifts will be duplicated by the General Conference. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales. The atmosphere is beautiful this morning. It is a good day for the workers. I awakened at 4:30. I retired at 8. This night has been the best I have had for a long time. I had a most earnest spirit of prayer in the evening of August 25th for the Lord to help us and bless us and give us wisdom and light and knowledge. Oh, to understand the will of God. In the night season, we were preparing for a meeting to be held. There were preparations to be made, and all seemed to be interestedly active. I was saying, "The Lord has a message for you. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." This was caught up and repeated from one to another with wonderful effect. The angels of God were speaking these words, and every one seemed to be walking softly, and their countenances were lifted up, and the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness were shining upon them. Then I heard exclamations of praise to God. I heard words of faith and courage and hope repeated one to another. And then would be these words again: Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 60, verse 1. This was repeated and repeated. I could not hold my peace. I caught the words, and the light of heaven was in our hearts. In the morning, as soon as breakfast was over, I rode over to the school grounds and saw Brother Haskell. I had conversation with him, and I told him my dreams. He was pleased indeed. He was going to Sydney to arrange for the making of the seats. Sister Haskell accompanied him. We then visited the grounds where the church would be built. We saw men working with axe and saws on the felled monarchs of the forest, that they might move them out of the way. We then went to visit Brother Barron, whom Brother Baker desired to come to Sydney to prepare for the camp meeting, to build temporary buildings for the restaurant. But we needed every carpenter who was skilled in building to work to erect the chapel and have it all completed in 6 weeks. He said he would work for 6 shillings per week and give half his wages, so that was made sure. We came back through the woods, satisfied we had done our best. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales. I awakened at 3 o'clock a.m. I have passed a restless night. I arose and dressed, and then sought the Lord. I desire His blessing upon myself, upon my brethren teaching in the school, and upon the students. The hellish powers are seeking for the supremacy, and our only safety is to hide in the cleft of the rock. We want to be covered with the righteousness of Christ. We must work the works of Christ, else we cannot yoke up with Christ. I wrote a short letter to Brother Baker. We had our reading of the Word with the family. Then my heart was drawn out in most earnest prayer to the Lord in behalf of those who were preparing the way for the chapel to be built. The angels of God can and will be on the ground to direct the work and control the judgment of everyone who shall set his hand cheerfully to the work. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Haggai 1, verse 7, 8. We feel deeply in earnest to push forward this work before the close of the school. We have prayed for wisdom, and a heart to understand every impression of the Spirit of God. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth for ever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, when the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Ezra 3, verse 11. I think all the people will feel thus. They will rejoice and praise God with singing and shouting His praises. I went to the school this morning and talked with Brethren Haskell and Wilson. I addressed the students for 1 hour, then returned to my house in Sunnyside. About 3 o'clock, a messenger came to inform me I was wanted on the allotments for the church building. The ground was now measured and staked off, and they wanted me to see if the position of the building was all right. Sarah and I rode over, and we saw a very busy party at work. The bullock team was drawing the immense logs from the building site and placing them in heaps ready to be burned. The sound of the axe and saw was very apparent, getting the trees in sections to make it possible to draw them away, that they would be no interference with laying the foundation of the building on Sunday. Another bullock team came from Healy's Mill with lumber. August 28, 1897. Sunnyside, Corranbong. I awoke at 3:30. My heart is drawn out in prayer to God that this day we may have much of the peace and blessing of God. At family prayer, I again felt the burden of supplication that the Lord would meet with us and strengthen and bless all who shall assemble together to worship the Lord. I spoke to the people assembled in regard to the necessity of a preparation of character day by day that shall be such as God shall approve. I presented the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 1 to 14. The Lord led my mind out in lines of truth. Sunnyside, Corranbong. I did not sleep well. My left eye pained me, and the left cheekbone has troubled me for some time, giving me some uneasiness. It seems like neuralgia. I do not say much about the matter, for I know that no one can understand my real necessities but my Redeemer. I can take all these things to the Lord in prayer.
I was much surprised to see Brother Baker. He had some matters to present before us and seek counsel upon. I had written him a letter in reference to getting out many papers and spreading the news a month beforehand that Seventh-day Adventists were to hold a camp meeting in Sydney. Satan is moved with intensity from beneath to set every mind called to this subject with a spirit to oppose. After the meeting place has been located, after the tent meetings are started, and we enter upon the work, then there is time enough to make decidedly aggressive movements. Every pulpit in Sydney would be notified, and the powers of darkness would be fully aroused to take the field against us. And the opposition that was aroused against us in Petersham, when the professed gospel ministers did their best to falsify the position of Seventh-day Adventists, would be repeated. After Brother Baker came, we met him, Brother Wilson, and Brother and Sister Haskell. We were sorry Brother Hughes was in Sydney. Brother Baker laid matters before us, and we had a long talk, and we think a profitable talk, in regard to plans to be followed in our future movements. We feel intensely in earnest in this matter of our future camp meeting, that every move shall be made wisely. The very same course cannot be followed the second year, because it was a success the first year. That which would impress minds to whom the truth was all new will not make the same impression 3 years afterward. Because if they do not receive the message of truth from the Word of God, they will try to evade conviction by starting some falsehood in circulation. We must not give publicity to the camp meeting. We must work wisely. Sunnyside, Corenbong. I awoke about 3 o'clock, having been blessed with sleep during the night. Now every moment after seeking the Lord in prayer is to be spent writing to get some important matter in the mail to go to America. Sarah and I rode to the post office and mailed 45 letters. We returned by the location for the church. All the students were given a holiday to work on the grounds, to prepare for the foundation to be laid. Several were felling mahogany trees. Others were sawing them. Other hands were stripping or cutting off the bark, for it would not come off easily. Others were digging holes in the ground for the piles. All seemed to work cheerfully and with great pleasure. We rejoice at every stroke made that tells in advancing the work. My big carpenter's bench is loaded on a cart and taken to the grounds where the chapel is to be built. There are no idle hands about here now. I have no question in regard to the location of the chapel. It is a beautiful spot. We are studying every means of practicing economy, and how entirely proper it is for us to take courage as we consider the life of Christ. I feel His presence is with us. The King of glory, the Majesty of heaven, the Son of righteousness, became the head of humanity and commenced His human life in poverty. He accepted poverty. He made it His own. Who is He? Isaiah tells us, "Unto us a child born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, verse 6. He came to our world, taking His position with those who were poor. He removes every thread of disgrace forever from the humble, worthy poor of this world. He blesses the poor, for they are the inheritors of the kingdom of God. Such is the sanctification, the consecration, and redemption brought to the world through Jesus Christ. He who knew the stigma and reproach of poverty worked in poverty all through His life in our world, molding by force of His example and influence all who were poor. And by His words and life, He placed the poor on vantage ground with God. He says, "I came to preach the gospel to the poor." Sunnyside, Corenbong. I awoke about 3 o'clock a.m., slept well through the night. I dressed and then wrote 7 pages and a half letter paper to Elder Daniels concerning camp meetings. As soon as it was day, I called typist up to go to work and copy that which I had written. She could not be with us for prayer or breakfast. I also wrote 1 page for Brother Brandstater in Sydney in reference to his work, advising him to work with the physicians and thus become acquainted with them and be ready to report at the camp meeting. I also told him not to suppose his wife could be a matron, for she has not the qualifications for such a responsible position. As a mother of two children, mere babies, her work was already assigned here, to take care of her children. There must be a woman fitted for the position of matron, who can give her whole time and her entire interest to the position she shall engage to fill. Just as I am taking hold of my writing, a message by telegram from Melbourne was brought to me from Brother Miller, stating that his wife is insane, has a religious mania, and begging me to send her words that shall help her. I worked to select passages of Scripture and a word from myself as the Lord's servant, reminding her that the everlasting arms were beneath her, that the Lord loved her as His chosen one. Two poor men came along to get something to eat. Two came a few days ago. We gave them food. We hired them to work a short time in preparing wood to burn and paid them 1 shilling apiece, after giving them dinner and a package of food for their supper.